We're on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. We were dealing here. Gemara had challenged. You know, Rav says if someone's makadesh a woman with a loan, she's not makudeshes. So the challenge was from a brisa, which said that if a man says to a woman, become married to me with this deposit of mine that's in your hand, and then she went and she found that it was stolen or lost, if there's still a shavar prut of it left, she's mekudeshes. If not, she's not mekudeshes. But in a loan, even if there's not even a shavar prut left, Chacham says she's mekudeshes. And Shimon Elazar says, in the name of Rabbi Meir, that a loan is like a pikadon. That if there's a pruta left, she's mekudeshes. So the Gemara says, "Well, ad kam lo plig yelo de mar savar milva for gavul nishtarim and ishav a pruta, mar savar nishtarim and ishav a pruta in vilo nishtarim and ishav a pruta lo." They argue about whether a loan works in all cases, or a loan would only work if there's a pruta left of the loan. Avol de kuli yamu mekadesh b'milv mekudeshes, but they all seem to say that you could be mekadesh with a loan. So Amar Rava, Rava answered, "Tis Brahma Taretzta. Do you think this brisa is a settled one, a correct one? Mishabeshta, this brisa is filled with textual inaccuracies. The whole thing is wrong, and you have to change it. Why is it mishabeshta? Because hay pikadon hay chidami. What type of a deposit are we talking about?" If the woman had accepted to watch a deposit, that if something were to happen to it, she would have to pay for it. So, Hainu Milvus, that's exactly a loan. If it's missing, if it was stolen, it's a loan now. So how could you say, if the deposit is missing, it's different than if there is a loan on her? If she never accepted to be responsible, Yachad Tani say for this, that it said at the end of the Brisa, of a Milva and a loan, even if a pruta is not left of it, she's still married. Niflug v'nisim b'nida. Why don't you say it in this very case? When is this so? She hasn't accepted the responsibility. But if she has accepted the responsibility, even though a pruta is not left, she is mekudeshes. So the one says, Ella, so rather, Tari Tzach, you have to answer in this way. You've been milvin alone. Even though a shavar pruta is left, ena mekudeshet, she is not married. Shimon Elazar, Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir. Shimon Elazar says the name of Rabbi Meir. Milva harehi kipikadon, that alone is like a deposit. So the Gemara says, but my kamiflagi, what's the argument? Amar Rabba, Rabba said, Ashkechatinu l'rabbanu b'bei rav diyasvi v'ka'amri. I met the rabbis from the yeshiva, sitting in front of the yeshiva. They were sitting and explaining as follows. The milva birshus bailam lahachzara v'hu adin la'onsin kamifki. They're arguing, if somebody gave a loan, and the money of the loan is still here, it hasn't yet been used by the borrower, do we say that because it hasn't yet been expended by the borrower, it's still considered in the domain of the lender, that the lender can demand it back, because it hasn't been used yet. And if that's the case, so then if an ones were to happen to these money, something out of the control, the borrower wouldn't have to pay, because it's already back to the lender. Because it's still extant, and since it's still extant, it's still in his domain, so if something happens to it, it's like things that happen to money in his domain. Or do we say, nope, once he lent the money, it fully belongs to the borrower. And even though the borrower hasn't spent it, he can't demand it back. If something happens to it, okay, that's going to be a loss to the lender, to the borrower. I mean, demar savar, one holds milva birshus lova kaima. The money that's still extant is in the domain of the borrower, who had in loans. So therefore, if there are damages out of control, it's a loss to the borrower. Mar Savar, one holds, so long as he hasn't spent the money, Milva Birshus Bailam Kaima, the money is still considered in the domain of the lender. V'hu Adzei in La'onsin, and the same would be true in terms of damage. If there's some, coercive damage, that's going to be the loss to the lender. So since the money belongs to the lender, so since the money is still in the domain of the lender, according to this opinion, If the lender then turns around and says, okay, you're mekudeshes to me with this money, that's him giving her money. And that would be a regular act of kiddushin. That's the argument of the Tanaim. That's what the students said. Amina Luhu, Saraba said, I told these students, le'on, in regards to something out of control happening to the money. Kuliyamalo pliga de bishus lo v'kaimi. No one's going to say that the borrower is not responsible because the money was still here. He had never spent it. So if lightning came and destroyed the money, so we're going to say, sorry, you know, he doesn't lose anything. How could that be? You know, he borrowed the money. He's responsible. My taima, lo garmi sheil, it's no worse than borrowing an object that you plan to give back. Borrowing money is no different than borrowing an object. Ma sheil dehadra be'ina, when you borrow an object, the object that you're going to return is still around, because you're going to return this object if you borrow an axe or something. And chayav ba'onsin, if lightning comes and burns up the axe, we don't say, okay, so now you got off the hook, and now the guy who lent you the axe is the one who bears the loss. So milva lo koshken, certainly, in a loan, that would be the case. Elahachas, rather here, milva birshus bailim lechazara ika beinayu. Here the difference is, in regards to returning the object if the coins are still around. According to the Tanakhama, once the money was given to the borrower, that's it. It's the borrower's and the lender can't demand it back even though the coins are still around. So therefore, he can't be Mekadisher because the coins already belong to her. However, according to Reb Shimon Elazar, so long as the borrower has yet to expend the money that he lent, the lender can still demand them back. It's true in terms of onus, it wouldn't be the lenders anymore, it's certainly the borrowers. But in terms of demanding them back, he could demand them back. And since he can demand them back, Reb Shimon Elazar holds, he can turn around and say, you are mekudeshes to me with these coins, because they don't yet belong to her, they still belong to him. He can still demand them back, and therefore he's giving her something to be mekadesh her with. Yeah. You gave a loan for a year, but since the coins are still here, Shimon Elazar says you can always demand it back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even on a determined loan, you could demand it back?
I would think it's an indeterminate loan, probably, right? If there's a date, you have a whole year, how can you demand it back?
She has to accept it anyway, because she has the money. She has to say, yes, I'm willing to get married.
That's true. So now the Gemara asks, Ve'elahad amar Rav Huna, but we know that Rav Huna taught the following. Hashoel kordo mechavero, someone who borrows an axe from his friend to use it. Uvi keabo, and he started using it. No. So at that point, he acquires it, and the guy who lent it to him cannot demand it back. But lo bikeabo, if someone borrows an axe from me and he hasn't used it yet, lo kno, he hasn't acquired it, I can demand it back. So lema katanai, I'm a lishmaitik. So maybe that's exactly this argument. Again, according to the Chachamim, that's not true. According to Reb Shimon Elazar, that is what is true. So Gemara says, "Lo ad kan lo pligi el b'milva." The argument that we have is about a loan of cash. Lo haja be'ena, because whenever you have a loan, you never have to return the same coins that you borrow. You can return other coins that are worth the same amount. Avol b'she'ela, but when you're borrowing an axe, to haja be'ena, you have to return this axe. And divrei akol, everybody agrees to Reb Shimon Elazar's basic point. And therefore, bikeya bo'in, if the borrower has already used the axe, then he owns it, or he's acquired it, and now he can't demand it back. Lo bikeya bo, if he hasn't used it yet, lo kno'o, he hasn't acquired it, and the one who lent it to him can still demand it back. And therefore, and that's similar to what Shimon Elazar says, that if you lend money, but some of the money is still here, the money hasn't been spent yet, you can be Makadish the woman with that money.
How can we understand that Hashoel Kardo, like is lending, borrowing anything, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Because he uses it as Shayak Lo?
Yeah. Then it belongs to him until he gives it back.
Until he gives
it back. Name a Kitanai. So the Gemara now talks about the din of Rav about being Makadish with the loan. Maybe that is Machlokas of the Tanoim. We learned in another Braisa. Hiskachli b'shtar chov. If a man tells a woman, become married to me with this IOU that I have against someone, or there are people who owe him money and he now makes her a partner in being able to collect it. Meir says she's married, the Chacham say not. So, what does it mean, become married to me with an IOU? There's an IOU that someone else owes me money and now I'm transferring it over to you. That's the second case. That's the same thing as a loan that others owe me and I make her a partner in it. Must mean that her own loan, she borrowed money from him, she wrote to him an IOU, and now he says, listen, here's the IOU, and through that, I'm giving it back to you, you don't owe me the money anymore, and you're going to be married to me. And you have an argument here whether such a thing can create kedushin. So Gemara says, look, la'olam really b'shtar chov da'achirim, the first case of the Braisa was talking about where there is a document of other people owing me money. And the argument of the Tanaim is about these questions of a loan through a document and a loan that is oral. That's where the argument is. So the Gemara now explains. If a loan is in a document, what's the argument about? It's the argument between Rebbe and the Chachamim. The time went in a braisa, osios, if there is an IOU, niknos b'mesira, when you hand it over to somebody else, let's say Reuven wrote a document that he owes me money, if I give it to Shimon, so now Shimon can go collect it, even though it says that Reuven owes money to Zev. The fact that Zev handed the document over to Shimon makes the debt belong now to Shimon. The Chacham say, you can't do that. Bein shekasa velo masar. Whether he has written but not handed over the document. Bein shemasar velo kasav. Or handed over the document and not written. Lo kana, he hasn't acquired. Ad sheyichtov v'yimsar. Until he both writes and hands over the document. Right, so Mar Isli the Rebbe. So therefore, Rebbe Meir, who says that if he's Makadish, a woman with a document he holds of Rebbe, that just handing it to her already makes it hers, so therefore she's Makudashes with it. Omar and the Chacham, who say she's not Makudashes, Lesli the Rebbe, they don't agree with Rebbe. They believe that he has to write a new document, and since he didn't write her a new document, she's not Makudashes. By the same alternative, I could tell you the Kuliyama Lester the Rebbe. Everybody agrees that Rebbe is wrong, that you have to write a document too to hand it over. But the argument is about a different law, the law of Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, "Hi, man, the Zabin Shtar Lachavre, a person who sells to his friend an IOU that people owe him money. He has to write in the document, acquire it, and everything that's, you know, and all the obligations of it." So Mar Isli de Rav Papa, one holds like Rav Papa, and therefore the woman is not Makudashis, because he didn't transfer to her the document and all of its obligations. Mar Lesli de Rav Papa, therefore he transferred to her the document, and she got money. Ibar Samor, third possibility, the Kuliyama Isli de Rav Papa, everybody agrees with the law of Rav Papa. And here he wrote in the document to her that he's transferring to her the document and all of its obligations. And here the question is the argument of Shmuel. So Amar Shmuel for Shmuel said, if someone sells a document of an IOU to his friend, now that person who bought the IOU forgave the debt, machal, it's forgiven. V'afilu yoresh, I'm sorry, if the seller forgave the debt, it's forgiven. V'afilu yoresh mochel, and even the children of the lender who forgive the debt can forgive it. Demar isli de Shmuel, so some hold of Shmuel, and therefore this woman is not going to be mekudeshes because she doesn't really trust that she got any money. Maybe the man is going to still turn around and forgive it. Or my lesson is Shmuel. The other one doesn't hold of Shmuel, and therefore the woman is mikudashes. Iboy is same. Alternatively, we can say to kuli al mislu de Shmuel. Everybody agrees with Shmuel. The hachan over here, the isha kamiflugi. They're arguing about women. Mar savar, one holds isha samcha daita. A woman relies. Meimar Amra, she's going to say, Lo shavik leili didi umachale lachrina. She's not going to leave me and forgive others. Forgive the debt to others. Umar Savar, others hold. Isha nami lo samcha daita. Even a woman is not going to rely on this man. So till now we've explained the first case of the Mishnah, the second case of the Mishnah, where there was a IOU. The milval pebemai pligi, what's the argument about a oral debt? B'Rav Huna Amar Rav, they're arguing about Rav Huna Amar Rav. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, Mana yesh li biyadcha, a person who tells his friend, listen, I have 100 coins that you're watching of mine. Tnei Liploni, instead of giving it to me, give it to Eliakim. B'mai Mitzlashim, if Eliakim myself in that manner there, Kana Eliakim acquired it. So Mar Savar, one held, Kikam Rav, Hani Mili Pikadon, that's true about something which somebody's only watching for me. I have a mill of a loan, but in a loan, then not. I can't transfer it just by the three of us standing here. But my sovereign, Rabbi Meir, holds loshna mill of loshna pikado, that a loan also can be transferred. And since a loan can be transferred, he's transferring the money over to her, and therefore she is mekudeshes. So the Gemara now says, Neima, let us suggest that the following might be the machlokas tanayim of the din of Rav of Makadish b'milva. We learned. A man who tells a woman is kachili b'shtar. He come married to me with a shtar. Rabbi Meir Omer ain't a mekudeshes. Rabbi Meir says she's not mekudeshes. And Rabbi Lazar Omer mekudeshes. Rabbi Lazar says she is mekudeshes. Chacham Omer Chacham says shamin esaniyar. We have to look to see how valuable paper is. If this paper that he's giving her yesh po shava pruta is worth a pruta, she's mekudeshes. In love, if it's not worth a pruta, ain't a mekudeshes. She's not married. So hay shtar hechidami. What type of a document here? If it's the document of other people owing me money, and now I'm trying to give it to a woman to marry her, so now we have a contradiction in the views of Rabbi Meir. So must be we're talking about her debt. Over Makadish B'milva Kamiflugi. And they're arguing about trying to marry through a debt. Am Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak answered, "Hachav Mayaskin." And here, what are we talking about? Gon Shekitcha B'Shtar Sheinal of Edim, where he was makadish her with a shtar that doesn't have witnesses signed on it. Rabbi Meir L'Tamei. This is Rabbi Meir L'Shita. So the Amar who said, "Ede Chasima Karti," that in regards to a get, the main thing is the witnesses signed on it. So here he's being Makadisha with a regular shtar, not shtar alva. Yeah. It's a kedusha shtar, but without witnesses. So since there are no witnesses, he holds nothing worked. Belazar holds that in Gittin, doesn't matter whether there are witnesses signed on it. You just need to have witnesses to witness the handover. So in Kedushin also, he holds all you need to have is witnesses who see the handover. Rabbanan who say that you have to look to see if the paper is worth a pruta. Misafkalu, they're just not sure. Iki Rabbi Meir, is Rabbi Meir right that the main thing is the witnesses on the document? Iki Belazar, the main thing is the witnesses who see the handover. Hilkoch, and therefore, Shaman Esaniyar, we switch gears from Kedushe Shtar to Kedushe Kesef. And we evaluate the paper. Im Yesh Poshav Pruta, if the paper is worth a pruta and he's giving her a pruta. Mekudeshes, she's married. Vam lav, and if not, Eina mekudeshes, she's not married. The by the same alternatively, I could tell you what this argument is about. It's again, it's not about kedushin with the loan. It's something else. Kegon shiksavo shelo lishma. It's again kedushe shtar, acquiring through a document. But the document was written not in her name. Ubereish lakish kamiflugi. This is the argument of Reish Lakish's idea. We know that Gittin have to be written for her sake. What about Shtar Erisin, a document of creating Kiddushin? Shaksava Shalol Lishmama, if it was written not for her sake, what's the halacha? Do we say Havayli Yitzia Makshin and we compare divorce to marriage? Ma Yitzia Bin Lishma, just like in divorce, that's be written for her sake. Afavaya Nami Bin Lishma, so too in marriage, that's be written for her sake. Odilma, maybe Havayas Ladadi Makshin and we compare the different types of marriage to each other. Ma Havaya the Kesef Obin Lishma, just like Kiddushin doesn't have to be Lishma. Avavaya the Shtar Obin Lishma, so too the Shtar doesn't have to be Lishma. Basar Debaya, after he wasn't sure, Hadar Pashtei then explained it. The Pasuk says, V'yatzah, she'll go out of his house, V'haysal Yishach, and become married to somebody else. Makash Havaya Liyitziah, there's a comparison between Kiddushin and divorce. There's a comparison between Kiddushin and divorce. Mar Isle de Reish Lakish, one holds of Reish Lakish, Umar and the other one, Lesle de Reish Lakish, doesn't hold of Reish Lakish. Ibai Seima, a term that I can tell you. The Kuliam Isle de Reish Lakish, everybody agrees at the dinner of Reish Lakish, that has to be written Lishma. Fach of Mayaskinitz, what's the argument here? Shaksava Lishma Vishalomi Daita. He wrote it for her sake, but he didn't inform her about it. And this is the argument between Rava, Ravina, Rav Papa, and Rav Shravya, because we learned Ksava Lishma Vishalomi Daita. If he wrote the document of Kiddushin for the sake of this woman, but without telling her, Rava and Ravina Ami Mekudeshes, they say she is married. However, Rav Papa and Rav Shravya Ami Ena Mekudeshes, she's not married. So that might have been the Machlokes Tanaim. Rabbi Meir holds that she has to know about it. And since she didn't know about it, she's not Mekudeshes. And her beloved girl, she doesn't need to know about it. And therefore, she was Mekudeshes. Chacham aren't sure. And therefore, they say, we have to switch gears from Kiddushei Shtar to Kiddushei Kasef. And let's see if the paper is worth a pruta. Says the Gemara. Again, Neima, maybe the following brice of the Machlokas Tanoim that we want to suggest is Rav. Neima Kani Tanoim. Maybe Rav's law about Makadish Milva is a Machlokas Tanoim based on the following Tanoim. The Tanoim lived in a brice. A woman who gives gold to a craftsman and says, "Asei li shirayim, make for me bracelets, nizamim, earrings, v'tabaos, and rings. V'yizkadesh ani l'cha, and if you do that, I become married to you." Kevan Shah's son, once he made these bracelets, mekudeshes, she is married. Kivir Rabbi Meir, Kivir Rabbi Meir. The Chacham omeinu mekudeshes, and the Chacham says she's not mekudeshes. Ad shiagia mamon liyada, until the money arrives in her hand. Ask the Gemara, "Hi, Mamon, hey, chidan." Now, what type of money are we talking about? Ilema oso Mamon. If we're talking about the same money, Michlad the Tanakama Savar, Afilu oso Mamon. Nami, no. Does that mean that the Tanakama holds even that money itself is not going to be Makadisher? El b'mayim Makadshula. So, if the money hasn't come to her hands, right? How can you say that the Tanakama holds that she's not Mekudeshes? Ela b'mayim Mekadesha. So what is he being Mekadesher if the money hasn't come to her hands? Ela lav, it must be b'mamon acher, that he gave her the jewelry to make, and the Chacham say he has to give her other money to be Mekadesher. So why? So the argument is about a loan. And the Gemara now explains how. Savri de kuliyama yeshma skiris mitchilavad sof avi milva. Everyone seems to hold that when you give someone a job to do, so when they get stuff to work on, so he's going to get paid for the work that he's done. But that debt of the money being owed to him for the work that he's done, that he does only, you know, gets triggered once he finishes the craftsmanship. So my lab, presumably this is the argument. The Mar Savar Makadish B'milva Mekudeshes. One holds if he's Makadish with a loan, she's Mekudeshes. And Mar Savar, and the other one holds a Makadish B'milva ain't Mekudeshes. So the Mar says, "Lo, no." To Kuliyam, everybody agrees, Makadish B'milva ain't Mekudeshes. The person Makadish with a loan, she's not Mekudeshes. Here the argument is about this question of, is the debt triggered at the end? Mar Savar, one is of the opinion, Eina l'schiris elo basov. The debt is only triggered at the very end. Mar Savar, the other one is of the opinion, Yeshin l'schiris mitchila v'ad sov. There is a debt from the beginning till the end. V'ibay yisem, alternatively, we can say, the kuliyam yeshin l'schiris mitchila v'ad sov. That when you're a craftsman, the moment you start working, you owe. Hamakat, and namakadish milva eina mekudashis, if you're owed money, I mean. And if you're makadish with a loan, she's not married. But here the argument is, does the craftsman acquire the object he's making? Mar Savar, one holds, umen kone bishvachli. The craftsman acquires the object by improving it. But Mar Savar, the other one holds, ein umen kone bishvachli. The craftsman doesn't acquire it by making it, and therefore, when he gives it to her, he hasn't given her an item of value of his. Stop here.